Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting, her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hi, everybody. Today we are exploring how we as a humanity can fine-tune our body-mind-spirit system and heal through music and sound consciousness. And I have with me today the Grammy Award-winning musician, composer, and producer, Paul Avgerinos. I welcome you, Paul, to Voice Rising.
Great to be with you, Kara. Thanks so much.
It's so good to have you back. I know that you do have a new album out there, and it's entitled Joy. Joy is something we definitely all need. And I do believe, you have to share more now, but you were nominated for 2 Grammys this year. And maybe you share with us a little bit where you're musically at in this moment.
Sure. Well, I'm very focused on serving people with peaceful, relaxing, deep, uplifting, high vibration music. And I really focus on the listener's needs. You know, I watch very carefully what tracks get the most streams. And I've been blessed to be getting 3 to 4 million streams a month for the last
Wow.
2 or 3 years. Yeah.
And congratulations.
So, yeah, cool. And it's interesting, the tracks that get the most play are very often not the most sophisticated and most elaborate ones, but they tend to be the simplest ones. So I'm very consciously trying to serve people with this music because I know there's a lot of pain and suffering in the world, and if I can help to alleviate a little bit of it through this gentle music, then I feel that's a very worthwhile goal and activity.
It's very worthwhile. It's very important. So thank you for being of service for our beautiful world. You collaborated on this newest album with the multi-instrumentalist Kevin Brahaney Fortune, and you guys also had done the Grace album together. What brought you back together after 7 years?
Well, I've been wanting to do another album with Kevin for quite a few years, but he was going through a lot of difficulties, health issues, and torn rotator cuffs, and motorcycle accidents, and one thing after another. And so it took us a while, but we finally got it together and worked together again. And it's very magical working with Kevin. You know, we do an interesting process that's very unusual in this genre, where often Kevin will play a melody all by himself and send it to me, and then I'll work with it and orchestrate around it. So, you know, normally people build a foundation and then they put the melodies and sprinkles on top. But in this case, for many of the tracks on Grace and on Joy, we work the other way around, and I find it very refreshing and enjoyable to work in that different way with him.
Yeah, and you're both very, he also has a big studio and does producing, right? So you're both very, not only multi-instrumentalists, but you're both producers. So you really love excellent sound. I mean, I think that's what you hear also in your albums. Not only are the tracks amazing, but they just have a very high sound quality, which is important if we want to relax, right?
Right. Yeah. Thank you for that. It's true. We do focus on quality. We're both long-time, 40-year-plus careers as engineers. So
yeah,
we keep the bar pretty high for sound quality because we realize that, you know, once you release something, that's it. You can't take it back and fix it later on. So
that's it.
So you have to put a lot of work into it, and make sure that it's as lovely as you can make it before you release it. And fortunately, we both have a lot of skill and experience, so we're able to work together pretty quickly, which you can't do with everyone. You know, there's a chemistry there and a synergy. And Kevin is very psychic. He actually does a lot of work as a psychic and a healer and a channel. Mm. And he just seems to be able to read my mind. He knows what I'm looking for and anticipates it, which is really great. Doesn't take we don't have long conversations about what needs to be done.
Beautiful. Paul, I would love our listeners to have a taste of this new album, and we're going to start with the track Joy Is, which is the opening track on the new album. Would you like to share a few words about this track, or should we just go right into it?
Well, just briefly, I've been naming opening tracks Grace Is, Bliss Is, Peace Is, Joy Is, with the concept that joy simply is. It exists. It's available to everyone, and it's just a matter of letting go of the things that are blocking us from experiencing joy.
I saw that you created the titles that express what joy is that are based off of a poem, and the poem goes, joy is subtle, content, innocence, rising, simplicity, childlike, tranquility, serene, rivers of light, ascending. So my question is, were you the author? Did you pen this poem, or is it something that you dearly love?
Yeah, no, I write the poems that are the album titles because, you know, in this age we're in where we don't have liner notes, we don't have descriptive copy and supporting materials, all people get is a tiny little album cover, the name of the album, and the names of the tracks. So I thought it would be wise to use the names of the tracks to convey more clearly and fully the meaning of the album, the usefulness of it, the focus of it, the intentionality that's embedded into the vibrations. So it's a lot of fun, you know. You think about all the qualities that joy manifests as, you know, how does it appear in our lives and what helps it to manifest more fully. And then I matched up. It's a little bit of a dance, you know, because you have to match the titles of the tracks need to go with those particular tracks, but then you also want to get them in an order that works as a poem. So it's a lot of fun. It's a basically, you know, writing poetry process work, which I enjoy. I've been writing poetry for ages, so just as a vocation. So
sounds like a new project, Paul.
Yeah,
sounds like a new project to bring out a beautiful poetry book together with your music. I mean, I guess you do have it now in the form of the titles of the album, but suddenly I got this image of
that
visuals
might be,
and
that
music
might be fun.
And,
yeah. One of my poems was published about 25 years ago. The titles of Words Touch, that's an album back from the late 90s. Those titles also form a poem, and so that might be fun to do because I've got quite a few of these now.
Yeah, I can imagine. Let's see if Christopher is there on the other end, and then we can listen in to your first track, which is called Joy Is.
Thank you.
You are listening to the new album by Paul Avgerinus, who's in studio with me, and that track was called Joy Is. Paul, we cannot cure the world of its sorrows, but we can choose to live in joy. And so what are some simple ways that you invite joy into your life each and every day?
Right. Well, there are a lot of simple techniques that work, and practicing gratitude, you know, making lists of all the wonderful things, wonderful blessings that we have, things that we're grateful for, people that we're grateful for, and cultivating forgiveness and acceptance of the things that upset us or bother us, offering that up to God, up to a higher power, and so that we don't carry around a worry or a stress or a sadness about suffering that exists in the world. And just focusing on being peaceful and content. You know, for me, that means chanting my Amma mantra as much as possible, and helps to keep my mind quieter because, you know, that monkey mind can really take us to all kinds of unpleasant places very quickly.
Take us out on the limb.
Take us out on the limb, and then it starts sawing off the limb that we're sitting on.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a crazy. The egoic consciousness is really, as Eckhart Tolle says, it's really insanity. You know, living in the egoic realm is actually insanity, but since so many people are doing it, it seems normal.
Well, that's what Gabor Mate has a new book, The Myth of Normal, when she says this same thing. It's like we keep on thinking that that is normal, but it's actually not normal. Normal is the peaceful, natural, joyful, you know, world, right?
Yeah.
But somehow we get confused because it's just kind of programmed into us that wars are normal. They're not normal.
No. Yeah. But it's been going on for so many thousands of years that it's become institutionalized, you know. And there's a saying that God created everything in the universe except for the ego, which was created by mankind. It's it's an imaginary construct. It's not real. It's thinking that thoughts define reality is insane. How could it possibly, how could a word, you know, English is a made-up language that you and I understand, but there's plenty of beings that don't speak English, and it's completely meaningless noise to them. So how could these so-called words actually encapsulate reality? You know, reality is huge and mysterious and magical and unfathomable. So it's really insane, but it's also comical, you know. It's like, well, I'm going to explain to you the universe and everything and how things work. And it's like, oh, really? Okay, well, let me get my paper and pencil so I can take notes.
Exactly. Or you set your intent and you reach your goal, but then something comes in between, like you get stopped at a traffic light or something, and your whole timing for the day is gone. Exactly.
Yeah. Well. Exactly. You know, there's no real happiness in duality. Worldly existence is full of ups and downs. You know, one day you feel great, the next day you don't feel so good, and things, you have successes, you have failures, you have, you know, life issues, and everyone experiences this. But people keep looking for happiness in the wrong place. Happiness is in oneness. It's in the spirit. It's in unity consciousness, and it's also in the non-physical. You know, Advaita Vedanta, that what they call non-dual awareness, is where real bliss is. You and I are one, and in there, there's comfort and a quiet joy.
Yeah, I hope that the people start pondering on this. We're going to take a small break, and while we break, we're just going to start pondering on that the air that you breathe is going to be my breath soon, and that the sky that you're looking up at is also the sky that I look up at tonight. Just a short break. We're going to be back with Paul Avgerinus in just a second.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and I am back here in studio with the composer and Grammy Award-winning producer, Paul Avger, and you're talking about sound consciousness and leading a life with mega joy. So, Paul, we were just talking about this amazing connection that everybody has, this oneness, and the heart speaks in such subtle ways. Anyone who's meditated or spent time in quietude knows the subtle energies that surround us and allow us to hear even a butterfly's wings beating 10,000 miles away if we're lucky. And I'd love to play the second track off of your album. So share with us a little bit about the next title, Subtle.
Right. Subtle is exactly what you're talking about, that the signs of joy and bliss, the life of these beautiful qualities. I compare it to flowers. You know, flowers are very delicate and vulnerable, but they're some of the most beautiful creations in our world. But of course, you know, a flower is very delicate. You know, it's easy to damage it. It's easy to neglect it. It's easy to hurt a flower. And so, of course, but they're also indestructible in that they keep coming back, just like joy and bliss and peace. They can be postponed or, you know, beaten down, as it were, but they always come back. They always find a way to come back, as you can see a flower growing in a little crack in the cement. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that the signs of true joy are often subtle and overlooked in our hectic lives. And when we slow down and breathe more deeply, the delicate seeds of joy can take root and grow in our consciousness. And so we want to make a firm decision to slow down and watch attentively for the subtle flowers of joy as they start to emerge. So a little bit that I wrote about the subtle track.
Beautiful. Let's listen in to Subtle, off of the new album, Joy.
Mm-hmm.
was stunningly beautiful, Paul. I could really see that little flower perking its bud, head, stem through the cement sidewalk. And I was reminded of these flowers that we have in Germany. They're called Schneeglöckchen. And I don't know if you have them on the East Coast. They're snow bells. And when everything's cold and dark in the middle of the winter, they literally shoot through the earth and come out as these green sprouts with white buds. Do you have those?
Oh, yes, I have seen those. They're, yeah, very lovely, and it definitely encapsulates what we're talking about. Alma uses the flower metaphor quite a bit. She says that we're all beautiful flowers, and we should just allow ourselves to bloom and express the beauty and the joy and the bliss that's within us, and not to worry about the sometimes frightening outer world. Or she'll say, you know, just to light your little lamp and move forward with courage. You know, it takes you have to be brave, actually, to be a spiritual warrior, to be happy, to be truly happy. You have to be brave. You know, you have to be confident in your true nature, and not be put off by all the noise that is in the outer world, and the scary things that seem to go on constantly in the outer world.
Now, I was thinking about this when I was researching for this interview, because joy is also, everybody, you know, wants, they say, oh, let's be joyful, let's have joy, but few people have the courage to really make it a life practice every day, to step into joy. And it's a curious feature of regimes sometimes to ban joy. For example, I was remembering in, you know, a history class where in China under Mao, it was forbidden to listen to Beethoven. I'm in Berlin, and during the Nazi regime, it was forbidden to listen to jazz and blues. And so dance and music have also been, joyful moments have also been suppressed from our consciousness, so that we don't have this feeling of coming back into our true nature. So talk to us about joy as an act of resistance, because you just said it, when the scary things are going on outside, how brave it is to choose not to be complaining the whole time, but to really stay in that place of active joy as activism, a conscious choice.
Yeah, I got a very strong hit as you were saying that. It's very profound. People normally associate, oh, I've got to resist the fascist regime. I have to speak truth to power. I have to stand up. I have to fight. But really, when we do that, we're actually cementing the problem, because we're cementing that duality between good and bad and us and them. And, you know, but if we simply focus on true freedom is being ourselves, being true to our higher nature. And that changes the world, because the example is irresistible. Everyone loves happy, joyful people. Everyone wants to be happy and joyful, but they don't know how. So when they finally see someone, you know, like Amma, who is truly blissful and truly practicing unconditional love, they are drawn to her. It's like a huge magnet. People just flock to her. They want to be in that bliss bubble that surrounds her by about 2 mile radius around her. It's just high energy, beautiful, heavenly place that she dwells in. And so for me, that's a true freedom, you know, that's true independence. Because, you know, if somebody, say somebody says or does something hurtful, if I can just let it pass through me and just accept it and stay true to my center, then I really expand and help heal that other person and help uplift the vibration of the world. So it's, you know, I think you have to be careful of that whole, you know, fight the powers that be and all, because it's a very slippery slope where, you know, you end up in this confrontational, adversarial dynamic, which is the last thing that we want, because there's no real joy there.
Yeah. I was just thinking about how joy is also just like laughter and just like tears and just like yawning. Joy is also very contagious. And so thinking of Amma with her amazing field, if every one of us wanted to step into that place a little bit more, we would be creating fields of joy, not fields of gold, as the song go, but fields of da da dee da da, fields of joy.
Yeah.
Exactly. That would be a great place to plant those flowers. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's our creation. You know, we can create whatever we want. If we want to continue hell on earth, that's very easy to do. But it's just as easy to create uplifting, high vibration, joyful fields of energy. I think it's really easier because it's our true nature.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite time, Paul, for creating music? Are you a night owl, or are you an early bird, or when's your time for creating, or is it simply happening 24/7?
Yeah, I don't have that as much, especially since I have a young daughter. I have to make sure I'm up early enough to help her, take care of her. But I think I've noticed a more seasonal pattern where I try to follow the seasons. So in the fall, I start turning inward and contemplating what the next project will be. And I normally start it right around the solstice, right in December. And then I work on it through the winter, and I finish in the spring. And so then I start turning outward, because now I'm going to share it with the world. So, you know, I've gone inward to the well, to the unmanifest world where creativity comes from. And then I go through the process, and then I turn outward in the spring and the summer and share it with the world. So I like that flow, since I live, you know, where we have very definite seasons in Connecticut. That works for me. And even the stars align with it, because I noticed that, you know, when I'm in the heart of my best creativity, I go out around 10 at night and look up, and there's the Pleiades. The seven sisters are right overhead blessing my work. I have some magical connection with that group of stars. I can't say exactly what it is, but there's something about those stars that just lights up my being every time I see them. So it's beautiful. It's like every winter I'm doing an album. You know, like right now I'm making a Christmas album that's going to come out in November, and I've been working on it since December, and I'm more than halfway through. You know, and we're in the middle of winter, so it's perfect, and the stars are blessing the process, and the seasons are too, you know, because winter, nature turns inward, and it goes dormant, more dormant, and goes to the unmanifest, you know, the place where every creation comes from.
And you do see those stars, because your nights are very long and your days are very short in the wintertime in Connecticut, right? So you just are more, it's a very cozy time. Yeah, it's a very cozy time.
Yeah, it's a great time to do this creative work. You know, it's very inner, very quiet, meditative, contemplative, reflective work. It's, you know, tiny details. It's a million tiny details make a beautiful album. And so it's a wonderful time for it. You know, summer is more flamboyant. Spring and summer are more flamboyant and explosive and outward and, you know, vibrantly ecstatic, and you know,
and less time, I'm sure too, if you have kids. I mean, there's more to do outside and
yeah,
to take care of in
sure,
the summertime.
Sure, you have to take care of the property and the house, and there's a lot more to do, and
a lot yeah, more activities it's happening.
More activities, maybe traveling, you know, and so it's I love that rhythm. It works really well for me. I always make my most important album every year in the winter. I make other albums different times, but, you know, these particular ones that we're talking about, you know, Joy and Grace, obviously this is my most important work that I focus on.
Yeah, exactly. And I was thinking in fall, people think fall is such a so much melancholy and everything's kind of falling from the leaves, but I always like to see fall as nature scattering her seeds. So if you're thinking of your albums, you brought them out, and they continue then. I mean, you're talking about 3 million listeners in per month, right? They continue to spread. They continue to evolve in the world, even though you're there doing your new album. But your old albums, they keep on being there for everybody to listen to get their massages to absorb and savor. It's pretty special how music has its way to penetrate through time and space. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I always feel the fall is, for me, is like the beginning of the year. If I made the calendar, I think I would start it on September 1st or something, or October 1st, because it feels to me like, you know, nature has completed a cycle and is letting go. And so the letting go is the beginning of the next cycle. You know, if you're going to channel something beautiful, the first thing you have to do is let go of everything and, you know, become a channel and turn inward. You've got to connect with the subconscious unmanifest. And for me, that starts in the fall.
Beautiful. Paul, we're going to take a little break, a short break, and then we're going to be back and listen into your next song.
Thank you.
Just a short break.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I'm your host, Kara Johnstad, and I am in studio today with Paul Avgenius, and he's talking about his new album, Joy, and the power that music has to heal us and to bring peace into our lives. Paul, Carlos Santana said, if you carry joy in your heart, you can heal any moment. Truth?
Oh, very much so, very much so. It's amazing how powerful it is. You know, years ago, Anugra and I did an album called Gratitude Joy, and the concept of that title was that if you have one, the other one will follow. So, you know, if you have gratitude, if you cultivate gratitude, then the quiet joy starts to manifest, because how can it not? And if you experience joy, let's say, you know, something wonderful happens out of the blue, a long-lost friend, or you fall in love, or something wonderful happens, you experience joy, what's the next thing you feel? Then you feel gratitude. So it's a virtuous circle that one feeds the other, and it's an upward spiral. You know, it's an auspicious spiral that is very blessed. And then synchronicities happen, and luck, what people call luck, or what I call the grace of God, can come into your life because you're preparing the soil for it. You know, like if you want to grow some beautiful food, what do you have to do first? You have to prepare the soil. You make sure it has the right nutrients and the right amount of water and the sun. And, you know, then there's a good chance you can grow some lovely food. And likewise, if you want grace and joy and bliss to come into your life, you have to prepare your life. You have to remove the things, let's say, remove the weeds of jealousy and hate and fear and darkness and sadness. You have to pull those weeds out. You have to figure out a way to get them out of your system.
Yeah, you have to tend to it, right?
Yes.
People forget that. Life is a lot like gardening in that way. Exactly. When we go back to that flower metaphor, we can't...
Yeah.
I mean, there are flowers, of course, that grow just wild, but there is a thing about taking time to nurture, to water, to look how much something needs, how much does your relationship need from time, from energy, right? Just like you would with a plant. If you smother somebody with, I'm not saying too much love, but if you smother somebody and never give them space or wings to fly, then it might also not work. But if you never write or never connect or never contact a person, it might also be difficult to keep that connection. So it's just being very attentive and aware, and I mean, like you say, full of gratitude and joy. Paul, tell us about your next song. So we're playing today the first three tracks off of this new album. The new album is gorgeous. So for you guys listening out there, there are many, many more tracks than we're able to play today on the show. But the next track is called Content. And what were the images that were arriving while you were composing this song, are you and Kevin?
Right. Well, I wrote a little paragraph about it because this was one of the feature singles, and I wrote that everyone wants to be happy, but it's not a feeling that comes just by hard work. When we focus on being peaceful and content, we create the fertile soil in which joy can take root and blossom. It is counterintuitive. As we relax deeply into acceptance and equanimity, joy arises naturally and effortlessly in our life experience.
Beautiful. Let's listen in. Content. was just listening to the track Content, and Paul Avgernios is with me here in studio. Paul, there is an ancient practice which I love. I think it's from the Celts. It's called placemaking. And it's the way in which all human beings transform the places they find themselves in into the places that they live. And you were talking about this, that we can cultivate the soils that will shelter and feed us. And just like we cultivate those soils, we can also cultivate the relationships in our community that nourish us. Your whole music, you've shared this on your homepage, that your life work is to spread peace, love, joy, healing, tolerance, contentment, bliss through the gentle and kind music. Talk to us about this conscious placemaking that you're doing with music to create, I guess I would say, not only your community, but communities that are really living these values that you hold so dear.
Right. I think it's important that we all be as conscious as we can in creating the vibrations and places that we want to live in, and where we want to dwell in. You know, starting with where I live, I mean, I live out in nature. I'm surrounded by 10,000 acres of nature sanctuary and a giant reservoir. And so being here is a very conscious decision. It didn't happen by chance. It was something that I've worked towards for, well, I worked towards it for about 35 years before I got here. And so, you know, it was involved a lot of letting go. For instance, when I was a young man, I made my living in big symphony orchestras. And, well, guess what? The best, biggest orchestras are in the biggest cities. But I don't like living in giant cities like New York and Hong Kong and Paris and Rome. And, you know, they all have big city issues and vibrations. And so I had to let that go. I had to let that part of music go, which was difficult for me. It was hard because I loved that world, and I was thriving in it in so many ways. But on a spiritual, on a deep level, it wasn't really serving my spiritual path and spiritual evolution as much as this life is now. So, you know, sometimes there are difficult choices we have to make. You can't serve multiple masters. You know, you have to have priorities. You know, what is most important to you? I've always made peace of mind a top priority in my life, and I've had to let go of a lot of things that disturbed that peace. And so I think when you follow that path, you inevitably are able to turn around and then offer the fruits of your path back to the world, because you know, now you've built up a vibratory system that's useful for other people, and I think that's a wonderful blessing to be able to serve in some small or large way in the world.
Yeah, it's like a vibratory sanctuary in a way, right? I mean, you have created your own sanctuary where you're recording and with your beloved family, and yet one can feel this peace and calmness radiate out. I mean, I'm sitting here in Berlin, you're sitting in Connecticut, and there's no gap, right?
Yeah.
And that is pretty amazing. If you had a wish, now we've all, I actually sense that we're kind of in this recovery period. I feel like the last few years were very intense for many people. We did have a lot of healing happening, and it continues to happen. If you had a vision for our world, I mean, I know you're already living so much of it, but what would you say to people who feel like, I don't know, like everything's going downhill? You know, I hear this phrase, people say, it's all downhill from here. I mean, the valley is actually a lovely place also to be, but what is your wish for humanity? How would you like to see us continue in the next 6 months or a year, because we know from quantum physics it is possible to join in the joy, bliss, gratitude, you know, on that train. What would you love to see happen?
Well, the way I see it is things are both getting much better and worse at the same time, because what's happening is the paradigm of existence is being stretched out. The buffet of life is being exaggerated so people can see more and more clearly how their choices affect reality. And that's perplexing for many, to see things getting both better and worse at the same time. But it actually makes perfect sense, because we're in an expansion, hugely powerful expansion phase right now. I don't see it as a recovery, but more of just a very powerful expansion. And I draw upon Amma's wisdom. This is may not be palatable for everyone to hear, but what she says is that this is a hell planet. And a hell planet is where two different things are going on. One is, if you want to live in duality and believe that you're a body and fight with your brother and over limited perceived resources and such and such, you can do that here. And you can do it for thousands and thousands of years, and no one's going to stop you. But you can also use this planet as a place to wake up to the fact that you're not a body and that there are not limited resources and there's no shortage of anything in the universe. As a matter of fact, the universe is completely abundant, and it's just embarrassingly, confusingly abundant. It's just so magnificent. And so Amma says, this planet is serving an important purpose, and that we're not here to change the planet, not the Earth planet, but the world of people, you know, the people that live here. We're not here to change our brothers, but we're here either to awaken ourselves and serve our brothers and help to ease their suffering, or surrender to the mindless insanity and suffer away. So I think that's the way I look at it. But when I say we're in a tremendous expansion, is that since, you know, I became conscious of this in the mid-70s, since then I've seen this exponential growth, especially the last 10, 15 years, exponential growth in the desire for true wisdom and awakening and mindfulness and wellness is just exploding. I think so many young people are craving this divine wisdom. And so that's very encouraging.
That's very encouraging. We're going to leave it there. For all of you out there, check out Paul Avgerinos. Your music is everywhere to be streamed, to be bought, roundskymusic.com. Is that correct, Paul?
That's right. Thank you, Cara.
At roundskymusic.com, you can see everything he's doing. And once in a while, we're lucky and he writes a blog and some poetry and puts it out there for us. So thank you so much, Paul, for being with me today. And many blessings. And I wish you all the best.
Oh, thank you so much, Cara. It's always a joy to talk with you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Who takes a chance?